This is Lake Effect for Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Warplanes from the U.S. and other allied countries are continuing to strike at targets in Syria and Iraq. They're part of the effort to turn back territorial gains made by members of the group Islamic State, known as ISIS or ISIL. The military response comes without a congressional authorization for war, but it is eliciting backing from many in Congress who've opposed President Obama's foreign policy in the past. Yesterday on national television, Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan offered his support for military strikes. Meanwhile, President Obama himself appeared on CBS's 60 Minutes Sunday evening and said his administration had underestimated the threat posed by ISIS and overestimated the Iraqi army's ability to defend the country. Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson has been engaged in the issue as well, both as an elected official and now as an appointed U.S. representative at the United Nations. He joins us on the line this morning. Senator Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
In your opinion, how significant a threat is ISIS to the West and specifically to the United States?
It's a very real threat. I mean, significance, you know, I don't know exactly what their operational capability ought to be, and we've certainly improved our defenses, but it's a very real threat, and it's something that I agree with President Obama, the goal that he stated, which was to degrade and ultimately destroy or defeat ISIS. And I think that's a goal that we should be pursuing in as robust a fashion as possible.
Well, what is your take then on the president's statement on 60 Minutes that we had underestimated ISIS? You agree?
Well, I believe his administration certainly underestimated it. I'm not sure if that's true to the intelligence community or others, but I think probably everybody was caught by surprise at how easily ISIS was able to grab territory and displace the Iraqi security forces. I think that's true. But, it was unfortunate that President Obama, when ISIS basically took over in Fallujah back in January of 2014, at the time, I think President Obama was just denying reality. I mean, he referred to ISIS as the JV team. They're nothing of the sort. And I think other people really looking at that understood that they were not the JV team. It was a real clear and present danger. But, you know, we ignored that threat and we see the results.
Well, the president also said that his administration overestimated Iraq's ability to defend itself. Do you think that that's true? Is that a fair assessment?
Well, again, if President Obama said they overestimated it, I would agree they overestimated it. I think what you really need to take a look at is, you know, could have this been prevented? I believe it could have. I think the historic blunder that President Obama made was in not leaving a stabilizing force behind to give the coalition government the space it needed to work things out politically in Iraq. America and our military presence there was the glue that held that coalition government together. And when America pulled out, again, very, very ill-advised policy on President Obama, that glue was removed and the coalition government really dissolved almost immediately. Maliki was concerned about the Sunnis. He removed Sunnis from his military, put in his place political cronies, and that's one of the reasons the military was also hollowed out. So hopefully President Obama has learned from that mistake and will begin to realize that, and he's certainly sounding like he's beginning to realize that America is the indispensable nation when it comes to providing stability in so many regions of the world.
But do you worry that by doing this military action, we're actually playing into ISIS's hands and that this is actually what they want us to do and why they picked this particular fight?
Well, I'm concerned about that, and it's a question I've certainly asked myself. I actually asked the president of Egypt when I met with him at the UN last week in New York. I don't believe the leaders of ISIS are stupid. And so by posting these videos on the Internet of these beheadings, they are trying to draw America in. I think the best explanation I've seen for it was a column written by Charles Krauthammer, who basically theorized that one of the reasons they may be trying to draw us in is they realize that we won't have the staying power. That if they draw us in for battle, and they can withhold it. Now, and by the way, one of the reasons they're probably attracting foreign fighters would be to be fodder for American bombing. and for military action. But if they can just hold out and kind of wear us down, tire us out, get the American public again or the world public war weary, then they emerge triumphant. Just not losing is victory for ISIS, and then they end up being the preeminent Islamic terror group, and they become the caliphate. So I think that's probably the likely explanation of why they may be drawing America in. And so the mistake we would make is being drawn in and not achieving the goal that President Obama set, which is defeat, the destruction of ISIS. So President Obama set that goal. He needs to be all in, fully committed to achieving that goal.
Well, how important are Arab nations, other Arab nations that are part of the current coalition that's working to battle ISIS? Are those partnerships key to winning both the actual war and the PR war?
It's crucial. And it's crucial on a number of different fronts. In order for America, the American public, to maintain the long-term support for what will be a long-term effort, this isn't going to be over in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or even a couple of years. I mean, Islamic terrorists have been at war with America since at least 1993 when they tried to bring down the Twin Towers. So this is not a long-term or short-term problem. It's a long-term problem. And so the only way the American public will support the long-term actions that will be required is if they see that the Arab nations are also fully engaged, fully committed, both militarily and financially, to the destruction of this ideology, destruction of these Islamic terrorists. And so it's absolutely crucial for what we need to do in the region long term.
Do you have faith that they will stick to it long term, that they won't be pulled by other other factions and other interests?
Sure, it's a real concern. I mean, the Arab states have been very duplicitous in their actions for decades. And so we've kind of played both sides of the fence here. And that's one of the reasons I agree with President Obama's UN speech. His second point, after the degrading and defeat of ISIS, he said the world, particularly Muslim communities, must stand up and very vocally, very loudly reject and renounce this terrorist ideology. And I agree with him on that. And so we've got to continue to push and prod and do everything we can to pressure the Arab states to remain committed to not only the defeat of Islamic terror, but also the defeat of that ideology that accepts and promotes terror.
And what do you think are some of the best ways we could help promote that? Is that a diplomatic solution?
It is, and to a certain extent, the fact that President Obama did not start any bombing until there was enough pressure, for example, on the Iraqi government to replace Maliki, who was a terrible leader, and force a true coalition government in Iraq, to a certain extent, holding off that leadership until that moment, I think you'd have to say at least worked to put in place a government, a coalition government in Baghdad that has a chance for success. So we have a real conundrum here. If America leads too much, the Arab states will sit back and say, okay, well, America's going to protect us like they have for decades. If we don't lead enough, they won't fully commit themselves because they'll be in great danger. So it's a very fine line that President Obama has to walk. These are very complex issues right now, a very complex situation. I don't envy President Obama his task. That's why I've been trying to be as supportive as possible, positive reinforcement to strong and resolute action. I want to see this president succeed in his efforts to defeat ISIS and Islamic terror, because if he succeeds, America and Americans stay safe.
Well, there are also some who are concerned that the countries that we're working with, some of the Arab nations, have also worked to oppose Israel, who is an ally. How much does that matter in assembling this coalition and also maintaining the coalition?
Well, again, you're pointing out one of the difficult complexities of the situation and the duplicity on the part of many Arab states. And so from my standpoint, this is when Arab states, this is a moment of choosing for them. They have to reject Islamic terror. They've got to accept democracy and democracy movements, which includes Israel. I mean, Israel's a democratic state. It is flourishing in the Middle East, even in a very tough neighborhood. So I'd like to see the Arab states take a look at the success that Israel's economy is and try and duplicate that. Use all that oil wealth to diversify their economy so their young people have greater opportunity, so they can get a well-paying job in an industry, as opposed to the only place they can get paid is through Islamic terror groups like ISIS.
Congress has not yet voted exactly to go to war, but one of the numbers that I saw from the Center on Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, which is an independent nonpartisan policy research institute, they've estimated that the airstrikes have already cost us between $780 million and $930 million since they began on the 8th of August. How do you balance fiscal responsibility and national security? That seems to me to be another conundrum.
Well, you have to recognize the top priority of the federal government is defense of our nation, keeping America safe and secure. And so when you start taking a look at what the federal government should spend its money on, how they should prioritize spending, having a strong and efficient and effective military is a top priority. So, to deny the reality, to leave ourselves exposed, to make the decision that the way we're going to fight this war on terror, which, by the way, we don't choose whether we're at war with Islamic terror. They've already made that choice for us. Our only choice is, are we on defense or do we go on offense? Do we defend ourselves here at home and see acts of terror occur on American soil, or do we try and defeat it halfway around the world? I choose to be on offense. And so what I don't want to be is penny wise and pound foolish and look at these efforts and achieving the goal that, again, President Obama set that I agree with, defeating ISIS, is a down and sense game. I'm looking at strategically in terms of what we must do to actually accomplish that goal.
Well, Senator Johnson, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. I appreciate it very much.
I'm happy to do so. Appreciate your interest.
Ron Johnson is a Republican senator from Wisconsin. He spoke with me by phone from his Senate office in Washington. A Made in Milwaukee film gets its premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival this week. We'll talk with the director and executive producer of Serial Daters Anonymous when Lake Effect returns right after this.